First Chronicles 21, verse 9 through 13, choose thee. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. 3 years, 3 months, or 3 days. That's an incredible choice offered by God to David. Really, the only time I can recall in the Word of God where a choice was given. You have this choice to make. 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed by the enemy or the foes, or 3 days the sword of the Lord. And he said, choose thee. You might read scripture such as this, and I have many times, and think that you're exempt from such choices. But upon closer examination, I find that it isn't so at all. You see, are we not all under the penalty of sin in this life? We are. Just like David was here. He was under a penalty of sin. And so we may choose famine. That's what you get if you don't choose God, in a sense. As the ground is cursed for man's sake. And we know that man's got to eat by the sweat of his brow. Or, as always, there's always wars and rumors of wars in this life, always have been throughout my whole life. Or lastly, in that third choice, which David chose, 3 days in the hands of God, the sword of the Lord. And that is a living sacrifice. To trust in God in the matters of this life, even if it means death for many, pestilence, but to trust God in all matters, you see. And we know by verse 13 of our text, it doesn't signify, following the Lord doesn't mean that you're going to have this bed of roses or this easy path. Actually, probably nothing could be farther from the truth. But at least you and I are in the hands of God. And that's what David chose. It's amazing to me that most men choose to be in the hands of man. I like a refrain I read of Charles Wesley, and he said, and love them with a zeal like thine, and lead them to thine open side, the sheep for whom the shepherd died. 3 days, eternity, in the hands of the Lord. The glorious providence of an all-powerful, sovereign God. No matter what it brings. And sometimes, listen, David lost a son. We've all lost loved ones. Things beyond explanation. How many, who was Jonathan Goforth? How many children did he bury in China? 5, I think. It's been years since I read the account. How many would think they miss God because they go to China and they lose 5 children? Buried in a soil he'd never see them again. It wasn't like today. Shipped back home to England, it's over. How can I possibly not be in the hands of God? The Bible tells us, New Testament tells us, if I neglect so great salvation, And thus, we're given a charge in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. That's what he says. I don't think we do that. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. That's who we are this morning. Will I sing praise unto thee? I'll declare thy name to the brethren, and in the midst of the church I'll sing praise unto thee. How are you not in the hands of this awesome God? You would turn to John chapter 17 and verse 3. What an interesting verse. And this is life eternal. The Lord declares what eternal life is. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And this is life eternal. This is it. Not 3 days. Eternity. Eternal life. Life forever in his hands. How glorious a thing. How marvelous. I think we too often forget that the little things that are huge things. The Bible says a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground that God doesn't know it. We don't have that mind of God. We say we do, but we don't. Because we live on one place and we see a sparrow. He knows every sparrow that falls to the ground on the whole earth. And the hairs numbered on our very heads. I wonder throughout these days of trouble, and we are in days of trouble. I mean, just read the news this morning. How often we forget? Wait a minute. My God knows every time a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows how many hairs are on my head. Isaac Watts said, when I survey the wondrous cross. I told you I'm reading the book by Lloyd-Jones, The Cross. I've gone back to the cross. Because by the cross we're saved. You and I. By the death and the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing how he speaks of the blood in there. So contrary to those who are the leaders in so-called providential evangelical religion today. When I survey the wonder, perhaps we've neglected our survey far too often. So I hope you remember that this morning, what Isaac Watts said. I hope it comes to your mind throughout the day and the days ahead. When I survey, as these things come, when I survey the wondrous cross by which we're saved. Jesus, now listen, we're talking about choose thee. Jesus chose that cross. You think David had a tough choice? Jesus chose that cross. You ever consider that? And that also for your sin. For my sin. I hope for you. He said died for many. One may say, he chose sin. Do you ever think about that? He chose sin. He became sin. He who knew no sin and was perfect chose the two most abhorrent things that could have been in his world or his existence. World's too small a word. Death and sin. My sin, perhaps your sin, that we may be free of such. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My God, do you have an understanding of such? Now I'm going to speak a little bit some on that, because people have a wrong misunderstanding, you might say, or conception of that. Is it not so in your life? David said, I've done foolishly. I've sinned greatly. You remember? I've done foolishly. I've sinned greatly. Turn to 1 Corinthians 21. I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles. Backyard text. David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of God, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. Now look at verse 8. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly, because I've done this thing. Who amongst us hasn't? But now, I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Some of you received a text this morning. There's but two authorities. In everything. And if you'll think about that and keep that in your mind, you have the Bible and everything else. There's just two authorities. The Bible and everything else. You see? And there's a testimony right there. The decision, choose thee, to fall into the hands of God over man. I've sinned greatly. I've done foolishly. If you've never uttered such, I doubt you're saved. I doubt your salvation. There's no possible way you can go to the cross and not be such. For I've done very foolishly. I've sinned greatly. Such floods my soul with memories. David went on to say in the book of Psalms, he said, my sin is ever before me. And thus must the cross be ever before you and I. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Very interesting scriptures. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Did you know right here is what separates, I know, this unit from all those denominations over there? That right there. It's what all those denominations are built. They used to have little bracelets. Was everybody around when they had the little bracelets, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Oh, what would Jesus do? You know what I call that? Milquetoast religion. Trying to be like Jesus. Well, I've got some news for you. To be like Christ, one must first go to the cross. And then you don't have to try anymore. You see? Because he said, it is finished. And if you think for one moment that you can live like the Sermon on the Mount or the way Jesus lived, then call me. I'd like to follow you around for about 3 days and just see how that's working for you. I'll tell you what I can do. Bless God, I can survey the cross. I can survey the cross. He said in verse 2 there of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment and such. All about people attempting to be Christians. I meet people all the time attempting to be Christians. What would Jesus do? Wrote great books and made millions of dollars on that kind of thing. Like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Boy, he got religious quick. Oh man, let's build some tabernacles. Speaking foolishly, you see. Oh, how religious we can be when Jesus is in the house. And in times of sickness and death, surgery, a child sick, a loved one sick, an accident. Boy, all of a sudden Jesus is in the house, you see. So we get out our Jesus clothes. Become very pious. You think about that. Are we not all those in Christ? Are we not all in his hands all the day long? Choose thee. Choose thee now, you see. Like a guy the other day, I told you a few weeks ago, he thought the only music I should listen to is gospel music. So I should ride around all day listening to gospel music. What would Jesus do? Well, he'd ride around all day listening to gospel music. Do you speak 1611 all day? I could sworn I heard some of you talking about price of gas. On more than one occasion, what's that got to do with Jesus? Or the war in Russia and the Ukraine, or the economy? But we have those discussions every day. See? So I should only listen to gospel music and speak 1611. I think there's a monastery somewhere, you know, waiting for me with my name on it. You see, I'm in the world. You get that? I am in the world. I'm not of the world, but I am in the world. A fisherman doesn't make me of the world. I can be a fireman or a fisherman or a car salesman, you see. I can have everyday normal activities just like everybody else. I don't walk a different way. I don't wear different shoes. I don't wear different clothes. Told him at the funeral I did last week, I didn't have a suit on. I'm the preacher. Oh, you know, you don't look like a preacher. No, I should. I forgot my leather girdle and camel hair jacket. Yeah, sorry, I don't look like a preacher. That'd get the blue hairs going, you know. How about a new creature? A new creature. You know any of those? If you would, finally today, turn to the book of your New Testament. Turn to Galatians. Turn back a few pages. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory. He said, but just one thing. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at it. By whom the world's crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There I am, the ultimate and only freedom I'll ever know. And I hope there you are also. You can't get much more sword of the Lord than crucified with Christ. That's why people hate the cross. They don't know what to do with it. You either glory in it, or you don't. There are only two authorities. Crucified to Christ, choose thee. Elijah came to all the people. You remember, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. Choose. There is no purgatory. Choose thee. Or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord. 3 days and three nights. You remember Christ in the heart of the earth. My old great uncle Jonah. 3 days and three nights, the belly of the whale. You see, you choose. Giving you a choice. You say you don't believe in. Yeah, I believe in that choice. If you're hearing it, you choose. If your glory be in anything other than the cross, God help you. But you choose. It truly is your choice. Just like it was David's. You say you don't believe in free will. I'm not preaching free will. I'm preaching you choose.